You take your Bibles, you can turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Last week we discussed the characteristics and the causes of bitterness. We said two characteristics of bitterness can be seen here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. What happens when bitterness springs up? Well, we're told that it troubles you. Bitterness causes us to be troubled. It causes us to be disturbed, annoyed with someone or something. There's a second characteristic, though, found in this verse. Yes, bitterness can spring up in us, but also bitterness, thereby many be defiled. Bitterness, it causes one to defile, one to pollute, contaminate others towards someone or something. We said now that there were two causes of bitterness, as can be seen in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. Along with the characteristics, we said the two causes were, one, pride. On the other side of lest the root of bitterness springs up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, there was the thought of first, lest any man fail the grace of God. There's pride. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. We encourage you to put off pride and to put on humility to battle bitterness. Secondly, we said on the other side was the third lest there be any fornicator. And we said one way that lust can be evidenced in our life is by anger. Anger when we don't get what we want, or anger when we have something and it's taken from us. Esau's birthright, we saw as the illustration, his blessing. They were taken from him. You know what happened? He got angry with his brother Jacob. And we encourage you at that time, listen, put off lusting and put on contentment in order to battle bitterness. Now, for the next two Sundays, we're going to examine the cure for bitterness as outlined in the verses previous to verse 15, verses 1 through 14. I've observed in the scriptures and also in life itself, there are two primary situations that can cause you and I to become bitter. And both can be found in this passage in verses 1 through 14. The first one, the one that we're going to address today, is that an individual, when being chastened, when being instructed by a sinner, can become bitter, can become angry and bitter. The other one that we'll look at next week is that when you and I are being chastened or corrected for our own sin, from God or from others, we can become bitter. You and I this morning, we can establish the theme of this particular passage by noting at which words occur most frequently. Lots of times when you're studying your Bible, you can see the theme. And the theme will be recurring words or recurring phrases. You'll see it as we've been studying the Psalms, we'll see repeated phrases and so forth. Well, note here for me, the Greek word hupomino, which is translated in verse 1, patience, in verse 2, endured, in verse 3, endured, and verse 7, endure. All the same word, endure. It means to steadfastly endure. It means to patiently endure. It means to persevere under misfortunes and trials. And get this, it means to endure bravely and calmly ill treatments. It means to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. Now, there's another word that appears in this passage often. Paiduo. It appears in every verse from 5 through 11. Every one of them. And it's translated in the following ways in the King James Bible. Chastening, chastisement, corrected, chastened. So, it means to instruct. It means to train. And this chastisement can come by words or by wax. Now, you put those two words together and you get the theme of this passage. Patiently endure chastening, instruction. Please remember as we go through this, you can experience chastening from others for doing wrong or for doing right. Most of us in this room have at one time or another received chastening when we didn't think we deserved it. And maybe, yes, we didn't deserve it. How did you respond when you were instructed, when you were chastened, when you didn't think you deserved it? How can and how should one endure chastening, received rightly or wrongly from others? Well, here's our first point. You'll notice we only got one Roman number one, because Roman number two is going to come next week. Roman number one, we must by faith endure chastening instruction from other sinners. And that's our text today is verses 1-4. Let's read those verses and then we'll read them, take them individually. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Enduring is contrasted with feigning in this passage. The last part of verse 3 says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, when a person fails to endure but faints when he is suffering from another, bitterness has already sprung up. It's troubled you and you're about ready to trouble somebody else. Now, what's it take for one to endure and not faint when they're being chastened? You know what it takes? It takes faith. Now, what are we to do when suffering from others? Look at verse 1. The author of Hebrews, he begins this chapter with two let us. Now, at times I kiddingly refer to this as a lettuce sandwich. Let us lay aside. Let us run. But before we look at what we should be putting off and putting on, I want you to note how our author tells us to do this because others have done this. Notice the very first word. Wherefore, seeing also, we are also compassed about, we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, who are these witnesses? Also translated martyrs that he is speaking of. Well, we're to look for an example of how we are to endure chastening from others. The word wherefore, it throws us back to what's just been said in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's the heroes of the what? Heroes of the faith chapter. It begins, let's take a look at verse 1. Frank read this verse to us this morning. How does it begin? It says, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Just substitute the word confidence. And the evidence, put the word conviction there, of the things not seen. In other words, faith includes confidence, the substance of things hoped for. But it also involves conviction of the evidence of things not seen. Faith, it's the confidence something is true, followed with the conviction to commit our lives to it. If you believe what you just heard, you will go and do. That's what he's talking about. Confidence, conviction. Now, as you meditated on Hebrews 11 this morning, you saw illustration after illustration of individuals who endured chastening, endured instruction from sinners. from others. The author of Hebrews is encouraging his readers because of these witnesses. Witnesses that they had. Witnesses who had previously laid aside and ran with endurance the race that was set before them. They were to do likewise in the same manner. Now, what exactly were they to put off and put on? Well, he says here, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let's break that down to two parts. First of all, laying aside every weight. Now, that can be a reference to our sins. And the reason why we know that is because that's the way lay aside is used. Let me read to you Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off, lay aside, all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Certainly, then, you and I are to put off all sins that are weighing us down. Therefore, look at your very first purpose. I purpose to put off the following sins. And only you know what they are. You say, I don't know what they are. Well, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal them to you. All right. Now, whereas the weight might be a sin, it can also refer to other kind of burdens that you need to lay aside. For example, what are some of the weights? What are some of the burdens that were borne by those in Hebrews chapter 11? Well, I could begin you back. Abel, the burden he was born with was to make the right offering. For Enoch, it was to walk in the right way. For Noah, it was to build an ark. For Abraham, it was to go to a new place, a place he had no idea of. For Sarah, it was to bear a child, which at her age was an impossibility. For the parents of Moses, it was to hide a child. For Moses himself, it was to leave Egypt and then eventually to return to Egypt. So there's weights can be, yeah, it can be sin, but it can be just duties that God calls on us to do. Now, we may have some of the same weights. All right, we all got to pay taxes, unless you're too young to pay taxes, so you don't even have that weight. So we can have the same, but we may not have the same weights. As I said, young people, you don't have to pay taxes, so you don't even have that burden to bear. But we can also have different weights and burdens that God would have us to cast aside, lay aside. He says, every weight. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. And what's the rest of it? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Look at your purpose. In following the witnesses of Hebrews 11, I purpose to cast my weight, my burden on the Lord, believing, yes, his will be done. Now, whereas there are different weights, did you see that? Every weight, so there's different weights. There's only one sin that, you notice it says, the sin which does so easily beset us. What is this sin that does so easily beset us? Well, every one of us in this room, we commit many sins every day. But I believe we all have the same besetting sin. That sin which surrounds us, that sin that hinders us from running our race. What is that besetting sin? Well, as I look at the topic of discussion in Hebrews chapter 11, and as I look at verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, I perceive that your besetting sin and my besetting sin, all of our besetting sin, is a lack of faith. The sin that hinders you and me from running our race is our lack of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says it this: but without faith, it's impossible to please him, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice your purpose on your sheet, please. I purpose to lay aside my sin of a lack of faith, which does so easily beset me. How? By asking God to increase my faith, as evidence, one, by your acknowledging your situation is ultimately from God, and number two, having prayed to God, then by accepting it as his will for your particular situation. Acknowledging and accepting. Those are two things that you need to fervently pray for if you're going to see your faith increase. You see, it's one thing to have faith to acknowledge the suffering that I'm experiencing is from God ultimately. It's another thing for me to have the faith to accept it. Until you're able to acknowledge the suffering that so-and-so is causing you is ultimately from him, and to accept it, you will be on the verge of bitterness. So often we focus in this direction when suffering comes to us from a sinner, whereas we need to focus in this direction. He says, all right, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. But then secondly, what does he say? Let's run with patience, run with endurance, the race that's set before us. Now, when I coached, I had all kinds of athletes, and I entered them in all different kinds of races. I had some youngsters that were built to run short races. I had others, they were equipped to run long distances. You see, our Lord, our Creator, he knows which races we should be entering into. And he puts us into various races, expecting us to run that race with what? Endurance. That's what he's talking about. Whereas that race that is set before us, they may differ, okay? The way in which we are to run our race, it remains the same. Here's what he says. Let's run with patience. Let's run with endurance. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, it says it a little bit like this. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Then he says this, so run that you may obtain. Run to win. Hey, listen, I'm in a race. I'm in a race for this job over here. I run, and how should I run? I should run with what? Endurance. How else should I run? I should run to fail, right? Wrong. I should run to win. But there's five other Christians running with me, all towards the same goal. Let's get that job. All five of us should, how should we run? To win. But guess what? Guess what, people? Only one is going to get that job. So doesn't necessarily mean that the race that you're running, that is always going to be, in the terms of mind of man, successful. You just run to win. You keep running the race that God's put you in. Well, look here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want you to remember, running with patience and endurance is contrasted with growing weary and fainting in this passage. Therefore, look at your purpose. I purpose to run the race God's placed me in. I want to do it with patience. I want to do it with endurance. Why? That I might receive the prize. That you can receive the prize. Okay, so what are we to do when suffering from others? First, let's lay aside those burdens. It might be sin, might be other kind of burdens. Lay them aside. Lay aside that lack of faith. And let's run with patience. Let's run with endurance. Let's you and I run to win. That brings us to another point, though. How are we to do this when suffering from others? We see what we are to do, but how can we do this? Well, verse 2 tells us we're to look to Jesus. Verse 3 and 4 tells us we're to consider Jesus. Let's take a look at this. We're to look to Jesus. Who is, our greatest hero of the faith? Now, we saw a whole bunch of them in Hebrews 11. But who is the greatest hero of the faith? Jesus. Jesus. Here we read him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We're to look to him. He's our author of our faith. We know this from Galatians 3:26. Listen to these words. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He's the author. Back in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus is referred to as the captain. It's the same word as author of our salvation. He's the author of our salvation. But he is also the finisher. You know what that means? When you read that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, you know what that means about your faith? It's not yet what? It's not yet what, people? Huh? It's not yet finished. And you want to know one of the ways, primary ways, that God brings your faith to perfection? Through suffering from sinners. Listen, as I read to you James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, and think about the word patience as we go through it, because it's the same word that's mentioned here, okay? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect, you might be entire, wanting nothing, that you can come to spiritual maturity. The way God increases both your faith and your patience is through suffering, suffering from sinners. There's times when we are falsely accused. There are times, I mean, this was my lifetime as a child. That's all I experienced. My sister got away with everything. I was always to blame. Woe is me. But now some of you young people, that's the way you think. It was my fault. I didn't do it, Dad. I didn't do it. And you get falsely accused. How do you respond? You faint. How do you faint? The temper tantrum. How do you respond? You flee. It happens all the time. What's happened? You didn't endure chastening, yes, from that sinner, that parent. Well, this is the way it happens with you and I all the time. There's a sinner out there that causes us to suffer in some way. And when that comes, we get bitter. We show our bitterness by our anger. We show our anger by fighting, by fleeing. Remember, the Lord seeks to enhance your faith, your patience, by now giving you this exhortation. By now giving you this example. Now, we have the heroes of the faith, Hebrews chapter 11, to enhance our faith. But we also have the greatest hero of faith, Jesus Christ. We're to look to him. What kind of chastening did Jesus Christ endure? Look at verse 2, please, here in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How was Jesus able to endure the suffering that he experienced? How? Well, he believed the promise that his death, his burial, his resurrection was for all who would believe on him, that they might obtain eternal life. He believed that. He believed that promise, John 3, John 5, or Romans 5. But you know what? He also believed he would be resurrected to sit on the right hand of God. I want you to do something with me. Keep your marker right here in Hebrews 12, but come back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, we just got done studying 1 Thessalonians. And boy, one of the things that we noted in 1 Thessalonians, as you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, one of the things that we noted was that Paul, he wasn't content with their faith, was he? He wasn't content with their love. He wanted it to increase more and more. I wonder where Paul learned that lesson. From Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher. He's not content with where we're at, people. He wants to bring it up to a higher level. And he does so through suffering from sinners. But here, read with me. How was Christ able to endure? Because he looked for the promise of eternal life. He looked for the promise of being at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at what we read here in verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what's Paul say? We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God. For which cause, the glory of God, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, now would you call what Paul experienced light affliction? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You know what that is? That's faith. For all things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know how Paul was able to endure his light afflictions? He believed that he's going to be raised again. You know how Jesus Christ was able to endure his afflictions? He believed he was going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father. You have to believe the promises if you're going to endure suffering from sinners. Look at your purpose, please. I purpose to endure suffering like my Lord and the Apostle Paul. How? By not focusing on the temporal, these things here, but focus on the eternal. Let me give you one verse that goes with that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If or since ye then be risen with Christ, you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. That's the way that you endure suffering from sinners. Look to Jesus. Focus on his promises. Secondly, it says, consider him. You need to focus on prayer to God. Look at what he says here. For consider, I'm back in Hebrews, looking at verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. All right, we've had his exhortation. Let's consider him. Let's look to Jesus, okay? Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter 2. He's our example. Well, let's look to him. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the one that we should look to. Well, let's look to him. Let's hear what he has to say. Let's hear what he actually did. What's his exhortation? Look at verse 18. Now, here's an admonition for servants to be submissive to their masters. But I want to show you something, all right? Servants, be subject to your masters. How? With all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. He is saying, you who are under the authority of someone else, I want you to submit. I want you to submit not only to the good and gentle, but I want you to submit to the perverse, those who are crooked, the froward. There's times when you may perceive that your parents are perverse. They don't know what they're talking about. They falsely accuse me. It's not right. Hey, my boss, he falsely accused me. I didn't do it. He's falsely accused me. Well, watch this. How should I respond? He says, be subject, submit. Why? Verse 19, for this is thankworthy. This is grace. That's our word grace. It's grace. If a man for conscience towards God, watch out, endureth grief. Oh my goodness, suffering wrongfully. Every time you and I endure grief from a sinner, it demonstrates God's grace upon our life. Now, it takes grace for us to respond in such a manner, but it also demonstrates God's grace upon us. Only by grace can you respond in such a manner. But let's read on. He says, no, wait a minute, verse 20. What glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, endure. This is acceptable. This is, here's our word again, grace. It's the same as thankworthy, grace. Every time you and I suffer for doing well from a sinner, demonstrates God's grace on our life. But it also means this, God will give us more grace. Because who does God give grace to, people? Oh, the humble. Submit, he says. But you don't know what they're, this one who's mastering over me, they're unreasonable. They falsely accuse me. And I'm so mad, I'm just turning inside. In fact, I'm going to go to my co-workers and I'm going to tell them what I think of him. And what's happened? Bitterness has sprung up, we're annoyed, and boy, now we're annoying others. We are defiling others. You watch how often bitterness springs up on you when you're suffering from a sinner. But you got to be thinking this way. Man, I can't look here. I got to look here. God, what are you trying to teach me through the sinner? And he should cry down from heaven, faith and patience. I don't want to learn that. I'm full of faith. I'm full of patience. And God, you might even hear him laughing. Because he's the author and he's the finisher. And you ain't finished yet, people. Well, let's read on. Because now there's this exhortation, okay? There's this exhortation. But now watch this example. Look at verse 21. He says this, for even hereunto were you called. Oh, my goodness, this is your calling. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow the steps. Yes, listen to his exhortation, but now follow his example. And what is his example? All right, here we go. Oh, he did no sin. There's no sin. Neither was there any guile or deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, oh, I bet I know what he did. Oh, wait a minute. He reviled not again. When he suffered, oh, I know what he did. I bet he threatened not. Well, what did he do? This one who you and I are to follow. Oh, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. How did he do that? In prayer. Lord, not my will. Thy will be done. That's our example. That's our exhortation. You want more grace? Then you got to humble yourself when you are being wrongly judged by another. Look at your purpose. To endure chastening instruction from others, like Jesus, I purpose to bring my burden to the Lord, trusting God's will be done. If you and I fail to ponder on God's promises, if you and I fail to pray to God, most likely we're going to faint. And by the way, how do you know you fainted? How do you know your children's fainted? You know. They fight. They throw that temper tantrum. They blow up. Or they flee. They run from your room. They bottle up. And it's the same thing for you and I. Come with me, please, to Matthew chapter 26. I want to show you another illustration. Now, we're to follow the Lord's instructions, but we're also follow his example. I want to show you an example of how Jesus' disciples, when others caused them to suffer, how they handled it. In this case, something is being taken from them. It'll be the Lord. Let's pick up our reading with verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and they began to be sorrowful and very heavy. That was the Lord. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he didn't want to drink the cup of suffering. Who among us like to experience suffering from others? And he asked God and the Father, Father, could you take this suffering from me? But he added that little phrase, not my will, thy will be done. All right, now watch. This is very interesting. Verse 40, and he cometh unto his disciples, and he findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me an hour? Then he says these words, pay attention, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What's part of the Lord's prayer? Lord, lead us not into temptation. You can't pray that enough. And he prays. But he tells them, he cautions them, you better watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Because the whole spirit, yeah, it's willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, be mindful. You watch and see if they're watching and praying or whether they're sleeping. We read on. He went again a second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came, and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he cometh to his disciples, and saith unto them, someone asked me this morning about praying the same thing. Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord prayed and prayed and prayed the same thing. And he says, now sleep on, take your rest. Behold, the hour's at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. All right, now listen. Knowing that he said, watch and pray. Knowing he said, you better keep this burden on, you better keep this on the Lord. Knowing that they didn't do that, how do you think they're going to respond when they're going to suffer from a sinner? Think they're going to pass it, or you think you're going to fail? Well, let's go and find out. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, he came with him a great multitude. They had swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, behold, hold him fast. For with he came to Jesus, and he said, hell, master, and he kissed him. Now watch. And Jesus said to him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, and they laid hands on Jesus, and they took him. What are the two times you're apt to be getting bitter or lustful? When you want something and you can't get it, what's the other time? When you have something and it's what? Taken from you. Jesus is now being taken from them. Let's see how they respond. What's our two ways of responding? Fighting, fleeing. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, he stretched out his hand, he drew his sword, he struck the servant of the high priest, and he smote off his ear. Now, what would you call that? And there's some of you, that's the way you respond. Man, something taken from you. Here comes the sword. Now, it might be the tongue. It could be anything. You're not taking that from me. Peter, man, that was quick. You don't even have to think about it. Boom, bang. Cut them 16 different ways. You don't even have to think about it because that's your nature. You're not prayed up. You're not watching. Man, I know these things can happen. I know my nature. Man, I'm like a volcano. Look at what Jesus says, verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, I put up again thy sword into his place. For all that shall take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he presently give me more than 12 legion of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? Can God deliver you from that sinner? And the answer should come back from heaven, God can. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he will. Not every race you run in, you're going to win, but you should run to win. You should run to endure to the end. But some of you are not going to make it there because it wasn't God's plan for you. Jesus is only 33. Lived a sinless life. It's soon going to be over. But I want you to understand, why did this happen? It says this, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must needs be? Acts chapter 2, 22, 23, 24 tells us every bit of suffering of Jesus Christ was ordained of God. Well, how much of your suffering has been ordained of God? 25% of it? 50% of it? 100% of it? It all has been ordained of God. Those sinners can't raise their hand against you. They can't speak a vile word against you unless God's permitted it. And if he's permitted it, why? And I'll give you two answers. Faith and patience. You say, you think I need more patience? Do you think I need more faith? Why? Because not God does. And how do you know that? Because you're suffering. And that's how he brings you to perfection. One of the ways. Now, okay, we see the fighting. Well, we're not done yet. Okay, wait a minute. Verse 55 here in that text. They got to hurry. But the same hour said Jesus to the, what did I just do? I'm in Matthew chapter 26. All right, let's get him fighting, all right? In the same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, verse 55, are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold of me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Oh my, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. If you don't fight, you flee. And sometimes you fight and then you flee, as Peter did. You want to run. You want to run. I'm not going to talk to that person. I'm going to deal with that person. I'm running. I'm out of here. But again, Jesus says, all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Was the suffering of Jesus foretold? Now, you see, you and I don't have a book where we can turn the Old Testament and say, oh, yeah, look at here. All my suffering has been spoken of by the prophets. There it is. But I can tell you right now, just as the Lord's suffering was all ordained of God, so has yours been ordained of God. Past, present, and future. And unless you can come to grips with that, you will remain a bitter person. First step, you have to acknowledge that what you're experiencing is from the hand of God. And the second step, you got to accept it. And unless you acknowledge and unless you accept it, you will remain bitter at so-and-so, at so-and-so, at so-and-so. Look at your purpose on the bottom here. When being chastened rightly, wrongly, I purpose to follow my Lord's example and exhortation to pray unto him, believing his will be done. You see, you and I need to look to Jesus as we turn back to our text in closing. We need to consider him, lest we faint. For after all, look, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Verse 4. When you feel like you can no longer run with endurance the race that you are in, that you are indeed ready to faint, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to any one of the Gospels, the last three chapters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one of those Gospels in the last three chapters have the Passion Week of Jesus Christ. When you say, oh, I can't take anymore, that the suffering I'm experiencing from so-and-so, the way they're doing this, the way, I can't take anything more, I can't do it. Look, consider Jesus. You go and you meditate on one of those Gospels, the last three chapters, and you look at all that he endured for you. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, how else can that be a help to you? How can one endure chastening and instruction and not faint? By faith. Well, how can you increase your faith? By reading how Jesus has suffered for you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, I don't have the faith to endure. Then read the Word of God. Then pray to God. Believing that every bit of your suffering has been ordained of God from the beginning of time. Last purpose, please. Let's close with this thought. When suffering, I purpose to enhance my faith by looking to Jesus and considering him by reading one of the following passages, and I give them to you. You want to have victory over your bitterness? It comes by faith. But it's a crazy thing. One of the ways God enhances our faith is through being chastened by sinners. Sometimes, yeah, we deserve it. Sometimes we don't. But God's purpose remains the same. I want to increase your faith. I want to increase your patience. I want you to lay aside. Put that burden on me. I want you to run with endurance. Do not faint. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your written word and for the instructions that come in it. Lord, probably half of us this week got bitter at a situation. We got bitter at a person, not realizing that you were using those situations, those different individuals, to refine our faith, to refine our patience. Lord, I believe that the majority of the people here, it's their desire to run to win. So I pray that this week you would bless them in this way. Bring to memory what we've spoken on this day. Remind them when they are suffering that you're using that sinner to enhance their faith. And they would be able to count it all joy when they fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of their faith, it worketh patience. Oh, and we're to let patience have its perfect work, that we might be mature in Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.